Tuesday night on Blog Talk Radio right here on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. And I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as A Bad Batcast. And you're listening to A Bad Batcast Live. How's everybody doing tonight? I got to say, I appreciate Chip Gibson giving me a hand, the godfather there. I just got my my Mac up and running over the weekend, and this was the first show come to find out about 7 o'clock that my microphone doesn't work. So I had to quick run over to Radio Shack, get another one, and now I'm back in business. So I appreciate it, Chip. Say hello to everybody if you're still there.
Hello to everybody.
He might be screening calls, but anyway, it's Tuesday night. We're right here, and I just want to give a couple of shout-outs. If you don't know who I am Rob DeVore. I'm in Clearwater, Florida, and I write the blog A Bad Batcast. Also, I pro-staff write for yakangler.com. If you're into kayak fishing, which I imagine you are, or else you wouldn't be here, you need to check out yakangler.com if that's your thing. Forgive me, I was just shoving my face with cookies here for a minute ago here. So they're good too. Iced oatmeal if you need it. So anyway, let's see what else is going on. Also, the voting has begun for the always dreaded Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, the first ever. So go ahead, and we lost Chuck. Sorry, Chuck. Anyway, the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, the first annual ever. Get in there and vote for your favorite guide, favorite kayak fishing product. I apologize to the folks in the chat room. I do not have a chat room at this time. I don't know exactly what happened, but you can rest assured that we will get to the bottom of it, and I'm hoping to have a chat room here shortly. Area code 603, that has to be Greg Crisp. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing tonight?
Excellent. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Well, we are here talking about kayak fishing. If you didn't know, Greg Crisp is a blogger, writer, pro staffer at yakangler.com as well. And he lives in New Hampshire and regales us with tales of catching stripers out there in the salt and the freshwater up there in the upper northeast. So if you got a Jones for that type of fishing, if that's your thing, go ahead and read Greg's blog. He is at yakfish.net. So tonight, let's see, what do we want to do here tonight first? Oh, no. What do we want to do? I'm trying to think here. Oh, no. Okay. I got a story here that you guys might find entertaining. I did. Dateline, Clearwater, Florida. The palatial Fisherman's Paradise Resort boasts something for the angler with everything. A helipad, a marina, a two-floor gym, a health spa, a sports bar, a 900-bottle wine cellar, and even a movie theater. Wow. Basically, what they got here is a five-story floating palace moored 15 miles off of Sand Key. And it's a barge that has been transformed into a $25 million luxury mothership for deep-sea anglers and divers. Oh, man. This thing is 385 feet long. You can get there by either a shuttle boat that they run or a helicopter from St. Pete Clearwater Airport. And not just any helicopter. They don't just throw you up there in a some sort of a, you're not talking about a little Huey or something, and you get out there and you can't even hear yourself think. It's a Sikorsky S-76, a soundproofed helicopter that they call the Bentley of the skies. So, also, you have a sauna and all this stuff. Let me see. The rooms were pretty pretty sweet. Your catch is cleaned and cooked and served for you if you like, or they can put it on saltwater. They got a saltwater ice maker or in a flash freezer. Let's see, what else do we have here? It's a massage room, a sun deck, a 1,000-gallon saltwater aquarium, mahogany-trimmed halls, and I wanted to describe the suites for you. They were pretty awesome. Sleeps 36. VIP suites have king beds and are decked in Italian marble. Pretty sweet. It only costs $600 a night, and I do not know if that includes your fishing as well. I don't have a website for it or any other contact information, unfortunately, but that's pretty sweet. If I had a I'd put the link in the chat room if I had a chat room. Give me one second here, and I'll see if I can see if that's up and running again. Yeah, I know. I'm an idiot.
Nope. You know, you forgot to say that Greg is also honorary spokesperson, you know, representing Kayak Fishing Radio. He's our man in the field. And,
absolutely. He does a lot of that stuff. In fact, when we were Chip was broadcasting when we were doing the broadcast at the Jamaica Bay tournament. Well, we weren't there, but Greg was our man in the field there, and that was pretty awesome. And we would go and say, "Hey, Greg, you know." That's right. So, anyway, if you're into dumping $600 a night to go out on a luxury fishing resort, by all means, it's a little bit far to yak from, but I wonder if you could actually bring your yak. All questions that need to be answered. But the thing is huge. It's St. Pete Times. Look it up. Luxury floating resort to open off Clearwater. So anyway, I just thought that I was pretty amazed at that. So on to other things.
Yeah, I found a toy that I want.
What's that, Chip? A mute button for me?
the easy button. No, it's guys down there that fish Everglades.
Uh-huh.
They have a 27-foot Carolina skiff that's rigged out to carry six kayaks in the bow and then coolers. Let me find a picture of it. I'll post it. You need to refresh and get your – hey.
Yeah, so. It's definitely not coming up. I did – hold on. Let me refresh again and see if I can get it again. I apologize. I don't know who's in the chat room, but I apologize. It's not my fault. It's the illustrious Blog Talk Radio. Maybe I need to just go to kayakfishingradio.com and go in that way. Okay, it's coming up now. Oh, there it is. All right, the Big Flyle's in there. Mark Lozier's in there. Isaac's in there. All right. And VBJAVA chick. Hello, everybody. Thank you and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And I already killed my story, which is okay. I can maybe find the link and get back to you. Anyway, you posting a link in there, Chip?
I'm working on it. Hang on.
For your new toy?
Yeah, my new toy. Hang on.
Okay. Well, I have new toys. I got a Mac Mini, and I finally got it up and running, and I'm excited about it. Life is good. So please forgive me while I run into problems. And it's kind of like learning how to use a computer all over again to a certain degree. Not like you might think, but okay, here, I got it. There it is. Okay, how's that? Check that thing out. Okay, well, let's see what Chip's new toy. Wow, there you go. How big are those kayaks? Any idea?
Those are, they look like, 12? Yeah, they look like 12, 13-foot prowlers, I think.
Wow. Where's that at? So,
Chuck Gillespie Charters.
No kidding.
Yeah, we need one of those, cool. Man, all wrapped in, you know, kayak fishing radio logos and stuff.
Yeah.
for when we do boondoggles, right?
Absolutely. That would be awesome. Nothing like doing something like that in style, you know? All right. Man, Chuck was on and then he dropped, man. I don't know what happened. Maybe he was mad because I came in late last night and I didn't call. I'm having, like, issues with my phone. I left my phone at work today, so he might have called me and on there, and I didn't answer because I don't have it. So, Chuck, if you're listening, call in. All right, man. The topic, as it were, for tonight. Everybody's waiting. Wow, man, I lost all the audio clips now, Chip. What the heck? In the studio. Okay, let's see. Where is it? Okay, got that done. Okay, I'm having a time tonight. Can I hit the reset button? Yeah, Chip, I lost all of my sound bites.
Really?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Is it just a blank column in the middle of the studio there?
Yeah, yes, it is. It says audio clips, and it's just gray. One big thing of gray. Maybe I got too much stuff going. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, okay. So, I'm so high tech it can't even keep up with itself. Okay. Okay, anchors and anchor trolleys. We'll talk a little bit about that. Been reading some things on Yak Angler, people asking about it, so we'll talk about it. Okay. Okay, everybody needs an anchor of some sort. You know, when you're kayak fishing, you want to be able to control where you're at and how long you stay there. So, what you want to do is, depending on, you know, there's different styles of anchors for everybody. You know, you have your claw anchors, I believe that's what you call them. The anchor that I use is a pound and a half. Folds up and everything. It's a claw anchor. It works fine for me most of the time. If worst comes to worst, I can always add another one. I have two of them. And what I do is a 25-foot rope, which Isaac's going, 25 feet? That's nothing. Coming from Isaac up in the Pac Northwest there that uses like 500 feet of anchor rope keeps it on a one of those extension cord reels, man. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy up there, man. 500 feet of anchor rope, really. Anyway, mine's like 25. Yeah, go ahead.
I gotta run, dude.
Okay, have a good one.
Yep, see you.
Thanks for coming in.
Yep, talk to you later.
All right, that was Chip. Anchors. Okay, so, yeah, my anchor is a, let's see, what do I got? Yeah, anyway, it's a pound and a half, 25-foot anchor rope. It's cotton. Got a lot of stuff going on here, man. Anyway, it works fine. It usually keeps me in place. I clip it right onto the side handle. I don't use an anchor trolley or anything, which is wrong, I know. You'll probably have better results with an anchor trolley. My side handle pulled off, actually, one time. No, I didn't lose the anchor. It's always good to have a, if you have a clip on it like that, you always want to have, which you should, you want to have a float on it. The idea being that if you need to take off, fish is dragging you off somewhere, you unclip it and your float keeps your anchor where you can see it and come back and retrieve it later. Oh, man. So, anyway, that's what I do. That's what I use. I also have a homemade stakeout pole made with a which stakeout poles are good if you fish in shallow water and you don't want to be jacking around with an anchor. Yeah, right, Isaac. Yeah, Isaac says he wouldn't even anchor in that little of water. Well, with the wind factor, wind usually, for me, most of the places I fish, wind supersedes current. So most of the time, as long as you, you know, and I like, don't get me wrong, I like to drift a lot. I drift the flats quite a bit. But if you use the, you know, stakeout poles are great. I actually have a homemade 8-foot stakeout pole that I like to stand up and pole around with. That works sometimes. It's pretty quiet most of the time. It's heavy, though. In the stakeout pole, you know, you just stab it into the ground and it's attached to your kayak, to your anchor trolley, or your non-anchor trolley for some people. Greg, what do you use for an anchor trolley, man, or an anchor?
Well, for an anchor right now, I'm using a piece of 2-inch stainless steel pipe with a cap on it, which okay. I poured about 5 pounds of lead into.
Ouch.
So it's...
Okay. So it's a straight anchor. It doesn't have any claws or anything?
What was that?
It's a straight anchor. It doesn't have any claws
just,
or anything?
It's just straight, so it won't... it doesn't catch on things. A lot of the water I fish here has a lot of downed timber and stuff like that in it. And I had a claw type, and even with attaching the rope to the bottom of the anchor and the top with the zip tie that I could break, I still ended up getting it caught on a log.
No kidding.
And not being able to retrieve it. So this
wow.
is just, you know, it's about a 6-inch piece of pipe and had a bunch of old lead weights sitting around and just melted them down in a pan and poured it. And this doesn't get caught. I got a short piece of chain, maybe 8 inches of chain coming out of the top, and it'll sink in the mud. I can pull it out. So it's pretty much just a big lead weight.
Huh.
What it boils down to, and you know, it works pretty well.
How do you go about making that? What's the best way to go about making one of those?
Well, I acquired about a 6-inch piece of stainless steel pipe that we had at work, just an old piece of scrap that was threaded, and had a stainless steel cap that I threaded on, so it's just a pipe. And then I put a bolt in the bottom of it with a short length of stainless chain. And then, you know, for those people that have made their own jig heads and stuff, they're familiar with melting down lead. For those that haven't, you know, if you have a cast iron skillet, or pot, you know, obviously it's something you're going to sacrifice to melting down lead. But a lot of times you can pick something up at a garage sale or something for a couple of bucks and you can melt lead on your stovetop. Now I will put out the, warnings out there. Lead is toxic. You do not want to sit there, put your face over the pot, inhale the fumes. It's probably best if you do it outside on a camp stove. However, you know, I grew up pouring lead weights with my grandfather and stuff. And
you know, those folks up there in the upper Northeast, y'all, we drink lead, man. Come on, we drink lead.
Exactly.
You know, the Bruins, the Patriots, and we drink lead, molten lead. No, that's cool,
so,
man.
You know, we just do it on a stovetop, you know, put the range hood on, and,
yeah.
You know, if you're doing it every day, it's different.
Uh-huh.
If you do it once or twice a year, you get more exposure to hazardous chemicals filling up your gas tank.
Now, what about concrete? Could you do the same thing with concrete or, maybe a wider piece of pipe or something with concrete? Probably the same same type of idea.
Yeah, lead's going to be more dense. You know, if you basically my anchor, if you take, is about the size of a pint glass, and it weighs 5 pounds. So it's pretty small, so it doesn't catch on things.
Okay, cool. That's not too bad.
You know, where, you know, 5 pounds of concrete is probably at least a half a gallon or so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see how that, but that would probably get caught on stuff too.
Yeah. So I was looking for something, you know, small and compact.
Yeah, well, lead will do it for you, man, that's for sure. Oh, man, it's like another thing, too, if on yakangler.com, on the if you're interested in the anchors and things of that nature, go to yakangler.com. Rob Choi wrote a nice article there about different styles of anchors and using them where and when. And I just use those two personally because I don't really anchor up over wrecks or anything like that. But, you know, it works for me. One time, fishing near Dunedin Causeway, my anchor got hung up on some rubble around a bridge, and I couldn't get it out, man. I mean, I'm, like, standing up on the kayak, you know, and it was maxed out, too. It was, like, 25 feet of water. My rope was pretty close to being maxed. So, you know, I mean, I'm, like, standing up on the kayak, giving it a pull, trying not to sink the kayak and fall in the water and everything else. I had to end up losing the anchor because I couldn't, and, you know, my buddy's like, oh, I'll dive down and get it, you know, and I'm like, yeah, right, I just saw an 8-foot bull shark about 2 hours ago, you know. Yeah, no thanks. But on that style of anchor, you can, if you think that you're going to be, you know, fishing around and anchoring up around a lot of these, you know, rubble or something for your that your anchor is going to get hung up on, and you don't have something that, you know, an anchor that you can, like Greg uses, or one of those wire anchors or anything like that. It's pretty cool. One of those, I think they call it a wreck anchor or a wire anchor or something like that. It's basically looks like an anchor, but it's wire, and you know, it's bendable, and you pull it and it comes undone from whatever it's hooked on. If you pull it hard enough, and you're not going to ruin it or anything like that. So, but anyway, yeah, I had to lose that anchor. But what on that anchor, what I do is if I'm going to be in some deeper water and around rubble like that and everything, it has a hole in the bottom of the anchor, you know, the pointy end, and you can run a secondary rope through that. So if you do get hung up, you can just pull the secondary rope, and a lot of times it'll get it out for you. It'll fold up the prongs and pull it straight up. So I'd rather probably buy just use another piece of anchor rope than, you know, end up buying a whole new anchor system. Greg, what kind of rope do you use?
Oh, I just use, I think it's a quarter inch, pretty small poly rope. But I leave my rope in section. I got a bag that I keep the anchor in. And I keep the rope in 10-foot sections and some 5-foot sections with just loops on the end, so I can quickly make the rope longer. Most of the time when I'm using it, you know, the part that's attached to the anchor is only 10 feet long, because most of the ponds and stuff I use them in around here are 5 to 8 feet deep. So, you know, if I do get into deeper water, I have some 10-foot sections that I can just add on real quick to make it longer, so I don't have to deal with a lot of extra rope laying around the deck or stored anywhere out of the way. I got more than enough stuff.
That's a pretty good idea, man.
I bolted my kayak to get tangled, and I don't need the anchor rope as well.
Do you use cotton or do you use the nylon?
I use the nylon so it doesn't rot as easy, because, you know, I'm always sure to dry it out after I use it.
Good deal.
Yeah, the cotton rots a little bit, so I like the nylon, so it's not as bad, not as nasty when you forget to open it up.
Hey, you know, one thing that I noticed, though, that I about the cotton that I like, anyway, that's what I use, is the cotton rope. And it's a little bit thicker than normal. It's not, like, clothesline thin, but it's a little bit bigger than that. And what I do is I like that because it's soft, it folds up, it doesn't get tangled up. And, you know, some of these nylon ropes, my buddy uses a nylon rope, and, you know, we'll pull up to the spot, and it will be real quiet and everything, and we're sitting there, and we're, okay, you know, be real quiet. And he's like, okay, you know, get your anchor out. And you know, he's got a 5-pound claw anchor, and he manages, man, it sounds like a bull going through a china shop. You know, he's getting that thing out, and he's banging it around, and he's like, oh, man, my rope's all tangled up and stuff. And I'm like, dude, get a cotton rope, you know. I haven't had any problems with mine rotting out or anything like that. I always make sure that I take the rope out of the anchor bag, you know, when I get home and everything, and make sure it gets dried out, you know, because yeah, it gets stanky. I don't know about you, but mine gets really stanky if I just leave it in the box and leave it in the bag, you know.
Yeah, I did that once, and that's when I switched over to the nylon or synthetic rope material.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I do try to air it out, but it's one of those things. Eventually, you know, maintenance on the anchor always comes after, you know, the rest of the kayak, the reels, the rods, the tackle. It's sort of the last thing I always think about anyway.
That's why you need one of those great big old you know, Tupperware bins, man. You stick that in your back well on the X Factor there, and you know, you keep all your stuff in it, man. That's what I do, and then I don't forget anything, you know. Last time me and Keith went fishing, when we had to abort going out to Clearwater Pass or whatever that pass is. God, I can't think of what the Honeymoon Island. Anyway, between Honeymoon Island and my mind is just like frizzed right now. It would be like my hair, but I don't have any. seriously, it was, you know, he forgot. He had to, you know, he left and he's driving, and he forgot his PFD, and he had to go home and get that. And then he forgot something else, and he had to go back. And I'm like, man, dude, you know, no wonder we're not getting out there till late, you know. So I got to pack that stuff and get everything sorted the night before, you know, get all my leaders changed and fixed up. You know, tie on the lures that I think I'm going to use, and I'm ready, man. I can't mess around like that. And, you know, I even have little reminders to make sure that I don't forget something, because you can get into a miserable day if you start forgetting stuff. But, and that big green bin, man, I got to make sure that I get everything out of that, too, at the end of the day, because, you know, nothing like leaving a wet towel in there accidentally, or a fish slimed, you know, hand towel in there. Man, you open that thing up and it is nasty.
How about a package of open gulp baits?
Yeah. Made the mistake of dumping some of that in my trunk of my car one time. Yeah. Yeah, that's not fun, man. All right, let me see. So you never use a pin style anchor, a stakeout pole or anything like that, do you?
No. I saw you guys using them down in Florida, and definitely when I head south again, I'm going to have one, because it looks like the way to do it. But the water that I'm in, up here, it's always, I'm always trying to anchor in, you know, 8+ feet, so it's not really usable for me up here. I do have a brush grip that I use, that I made out of a old, it's one of those old metal clamp-on lights. I had one of those laying around, and I took the clamp off, so if I have brush, I can just clip off to the brush or something with that and tie off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll work. Well, like I said, I use my homemade stakeout pole. It's one of those green garden stakes, you know, the plastic ones. And you can't use that on its own because it'll fold up on you quicker than anything. But what you do is take one of those and then you run a steel screw through the middle, like one of the big long steel screws that you can get at Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever. And you do that, and then you put a PVC T at the end, and you just screw it in, and voila, you got yourself a stakeout pole. It's pretty heavy, fairly heavy. You definitely want to make sure it's roped off to your kayak or tied onto your kayaks or attached somehow, because if you drop that thing and you're in deep water, you're never getting that back, unless you want to go diving for it. but I like it, man. I don't use it a whole heck of a lot. I just prefer my anchor, and put a little cleat next to where my anchor is, and it's right next to my leg, so I can just pick it up and set it down in the water. And if I'm in 4 feet of water, I don't have to let the whole 25 feet of anchor rope out unless I want to. What's another way? Do you have any sort of a cleat system or anything like that, or you just let it go, Greg?
Well, yeah, what I normally do is, like I said, I have the sort of an adjustable anchor line length. So I just let it go. My top section, I got a bungee cord with two clips on the end. And
okay.
I attach a float to that, so I have... I actually bought some rod floats for my kids, little foam floats that you just sort of Velcro around. They got a hole in it to go around their rods and for when they drop them in the water. And used one of those around the bungee cord. And so if I want to unclip it, I have that. I also like the bungee cord because it's if the wind changes or you have a fish on, it's sort of a less abrupt snap, especially if you start drifting a little bit and your anchor gets snagged on something. It doesn't tend to snap you around. So, I found just having a short piece of bungee in there for that. And I think it was Tractor Supply sells bungee cords with little clips on each end.
Huh. Also, we have the always dreaded Greg Becker checking in on this one, and he put in the chat room, if you're listening to the podcast later on, cheap stakeout pole equals Walmart fiberglass pool cue, $20, no effort, and you can stuff a 1-inch PVC tee over the rubber butt if you like. I like that, man. That's a pretty good idea, Greg. That's about the size of about the size of a stakeout pole that you want. What are most pool cues? About 5 feet, maybe?
Yeah.
It's not bad for a stakeout pole. It's lightweight. There you go, man. And if you lose it, bummer. You just pick up another one. All right. In the let's see, we got area code 304. You are on the air.
Hi,
hello,
Kayla.
Hey,
hello.
How are you, Kayla? What's happening?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, man. We're talking about anchors and stakeout poles and things of that nature, man. So, for those of you who do not know, and I don't have any music at all here for anybody, all my sound clips are history, man. So, for some reason, they're all blacked out. I don't have an end show button either. So. I think I'm on for the duration. But anyway, for those of you who don't know, Kayla is a kayak angler from West Virginia. And what kind of anchor system do you use, Kayla? Do you? Or do you use a stakeout pole or anything like that?
I actually have an anchor that I have on rope and I just drop it. And then I've made, like, a pulley system on my kayak to where I just pull it back up. But a lot of places that I fish are, like, 30 feet deep also. So I did what the other guy that was talking said with the clip it looks like battery cable clips.
Yeah.
And with the teeth on it. And then,
yeah, clamps.
Yeah, made it to where one of them will be on my kayak and then just go over to, like, a tree limb or something that's, like, sticking up out of the water and just attach it to that. And it's never, like, major current around here unless it's, like, windy or raining or something. So
What do you use for an anchor? How heavy? Do you know? Is it 5 or 3 or 1.5?
5.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. It's just the one that was there. I don't think it needs to be that big, but when I went shopping, it looked good. That's what I got. But I don't use it very often.
That's cool. Yeah, Bass Pro has one. It's like a 5-pound anchor, I think, for, I don't know, like $30 or something. I don't know. And it comes with the rope and the bag and the clip and everything else. So
yeah, I think I got mine from Cabela's, but that's the way mine was.
All right, for Scuba Stan, who's just joining us from, he's in the chat room there, and he is up in Chucktown. Or Charleston, and he says to use, wants to rig up a stakeout pole, thought about liberating the flagpole that goes in golf holes on a golf course. That's not a bad idea either, man. Wonder if it would hold up. I did try that, just the plastic green gardening spike on its own before, and it did not hold up. I used to, now I've been corrected from what I used to do. Thank you to all the folks that told me not to do this. But what I used to do is stick the stakeout pole through the scupper holes, okay? And that's a great idea. You know, it holds the kayak up and everything's great, and that's a great way to do it. But everybody has told me that you'll wreck your scupper holes, you'll crack them. Once you get a crack in there, good luck to you. And you'll start leaking and everything else. So that's another thing. Greg, have you heard that? Have you heard that not to stick your stakeout pole through your scupper hole or you could crack your kayak?
Yeah, I have heard that a little, and you know, mainly heard a lot about the scupper hole carts cracking scupper holes. You know, up here there's not a lot of stakeout poles being utilized, so I don't hear too much on that. But I have heard guys, you know, my first cart that I had on my first kayak was a scupper hole cart, and got down to the ramp, and, you know, two guys on the first trip said, oh, if you keep using that, you're going to end up cracking your scupper holes.
Hmm. Well, that sounds like a subject for another show one time. I don't know if I've never done it, so I can't say one way or another. But I did stop doing that because the last thing I want to do is bust my kayak. You know, they're pretty indestructible, but people have told me that that's the weak point. You know, there's not as much plastic and things like that in your scupper hole. So anybody in the chat room, if you want to weigh in on that, what you think, let me know. Be more than happy to hear from you. Yowzer. Yeah, so anyway, Kayla, I know that you're just joining us, but I've been having a rough night, man. I left my phone at home, logged into Skype, you know, to do a test because I got a new computer and everything here. Got the new Mac up and running, and Chip was good enough to help me, you know, test everything, and found out that my mic didn't work. So I had to run to Radio Shack real quick and pick up another mic and everything just so I could get on the air. Because usually, you know, the plan B is, you know, call in and, you know, Chip can get me logged in and everything, or I can do it myself if my computer's up and running. But, you know, call in and do the show from the phone. Which isn't anywhere near as fun as doing it here on Skype. So I don't know, it doesn't like the rotary dial thing or something. So anyway, that's where I'm at today. I'm kind of scattered, man, trust me, because I was, you know, freaking out here about an hour ago. So everybody bear with me, and I appreciate everybody for listening in. Any other so no Anchor trolley then, or do you run an Anchor trolley, Greg?
I do run an Anchor trolley now. I had one on my first kayak. It actually came installed on my Prowler 13, and I hated the thing. Couldn't make it work, couldn't figure out why, and ended up just never using it, always, you know, tied off to a cleat. And
right.
Then this winter, I went down and Dee took me out on a charter and fished with her, and she had an Anchor trolley set up on the yak I was using, and I loved the thing. And about halfway through the day, it hit me why, and that was because it was on the left side of the kayak.
Oh.
I could fish. You know, I was still holding my rod. All I had to do was stop reeling a second. I could, you know, release it or move it, you know, and keep fishing. And on my Prowler, it was on the right side of the kayak. And it just, it was always a pain in the butt to move because I'm holding my rod in my right hand. I had to switch hands with the rod and then mess around with it.
Yeah.
So it, you know, sort of an interesting lesson there. It can, you know, the side you put it on, it may not seem like a big deal, but there's some things to think about there.
Wow. Now, one thing that I... You know, it always seems like, you know, you'll get set up and it'll be, you know, have the thing clipped off on the right side or, the, you know, whatever. And the wind or wherever is, you know, pushing me the opposite way that I want to fish. So, yeah, I think I see an Anchor trolley in my future because I was actually using one on Scott's kayak that he let me borrow over there the second trip over to Mosquito Lagoon, and I liked it, man. It was great because it could, you know, the wind's blowing and it was like you know, it straightened me right out, man. So I definitely have to look into getting one of those. I just don't like drilling holes in my kayak, man. Sorry. So you did hook it up or no?
Yeah, I set up my Malibu, I set up a Anchor trolley on the left side after I got back from Florida.
Was it the Landing Cruise famous no drill Anchor trolley?
No, I did install one pad eye on the back. I was able to hook it up with my to the front to the loops I made when I fixed my gator hatch. I was able to anchor the front up there and set it up just with a, you know, a carabiner so I can remove it if, you know, I don't want it on there. But, you know, a lot of the time when I'm in salt water now and I'm fishing stripers or going after bluefish and I keep one, I also use it to attach my stringer to as well.
Oh, okay.
And this weekend I went on a paddle with my kids for, we did 7.5 miles on Sunday with a whole bunch of guys from work. Didn't get in much fishing, but ended up using it and as the tow point for my youngest son.
Oh, yeah? Did he run out of gas?
Oh, yeah. He did a good job. He paddled a good couple miles by himself, but he's only seven, so, you know, he wasn't expected to paddle the whole thing.
What
but
got him? What
really
was
tow point.
What was did the hands go, or was it just fatigue, or what? Because sometimes you get blisters on your hands, and it makes it hard to paddle. I've had that happen to me before.
Yeah, this I think it was, you know, just overall fatigue, but. I also tried not to let him get tired out this time. You know, I kept a close eye on him, and when I could see his, you know, paddling strokes, you know, not get as strong. You know, I'd pull up next to him. I said, why don't you take a rest and let me pull you for a while? Rather than him having to break down and ask for it, I sort of did a preemptive strike, and that kept him in a good mood all day, and, you know, he was able
That's
to
good.
Enjoy the whole trip.
Yeah, it sucks, though, having to tow somebody, but, yeah, man, that's a long, 7 miles is pretty long for a kid, man. You know, in Jacksonville, too, I mean, the clone, when the clone had a meltdown on the way back, man, that was pretty, I gotta say, he hung in there pretty good for, like, the most of the day, and I was pretty much beat tired, man, coming back against that current and everything else, man. That was a hard road to hoe on that one, buddy. And so,
yeah, was,
you know, he's 12, man, and that was, I know, I think he did pretty good. And I thought it was funny, you know, Chip handled it so well, man. I'd be like pulling my hair out, man. I'd be like, man, it's like a blessing that I never had kids, because I like kids, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, I would have just been pulling my hair out over that one, man, because he was just like melting down, standing on a sandbar out in the middle of one of those creeks up in Jacksonville, like, I can't go any further, you know, and Chip's like, what are you going to do, like, move into the, you know, sandbar there or something? So, he's like so patient, man. Chip is like, very, very patient, man. Gotta give him props for that, man. I'd be pulling my hair out.
I wasn't very patient before I had kids, but I'm learning it now, and you learn how to push them and, you know, get kids through those moments, because they always have them, whether it's, you know, kayaking or homework or whatever. They all have those moments, and you have to learn how to push them and get them along. This trip this weekend, my older son, who's 10, actually paddled the whole 7.5 miles.
Wow, good, so, good for him, man.
You know,
Kayla, I know that you have a, four-year-old. How is your patience, man? Good, bad, ugly? Are you there, Kayla? Oh, I don't know. She might have taken a dirt nap there. If you're there, just say hey. Oh man, I must have said something wrong. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, yeah. So I understand completely, man, with the, you know, and I do. I have pretty good patience, you know, most of the time, but. You know, it's hard on a kid too, man. You got to understand, you know, what I don't understand is, you know, sometimes it's hard on a kid, you know, a 12-year-old kid out there paddling. God, we went probably, what, 5 miles each way that time? You were there. I don't know. Did you go down as far as we did?
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know. I think you went further than May.
Yeah, I think we went a little bit further, and, we started on the way back. It was me, Mark, and Charlie.
You guys were taking up the rear.
You guys were gone.
Yeah,
you guys were gone, and there was no water left.
Yeah, well, that was just it. You know, it was like getting to be late in the day, and we said, hey, you know, we got to get back sometime before dark, you know, and that's quite a ways back. And I was going out, man. I tell you what, man, some of those, I went around a couple of those corners and started moving backwards, man. That current was super strong, man. Your kayak's even bigger than mine, so I know that you probably had a good hard time with that, too. I mean, there was a couple of 100-yard stretches that I had to paddle as hard and fast as I could just to go, like, 2 inches at a time. So that was definitely, that was really, man, that was a rough one. And then to have to, you know, walk the kayaks back, and then the last 100 yards was like, you know, there was no water at all, and we had to actually drag, you know, carry the kayaks, man. I was like asking Chip, I'm like, what is this, some kind of like sick Marine Corps, like, you know, boot camp joke or something?
Yeah, see, I wasn't quite sure of the plan when we went out there. I didn't know if we were going to wait till, you know, the tide started coming in and ride the tide back in, or what the plan was. You know, I realized after that, you know, all you guys down south were starting to get cold and stuff, but, you know, even the night there was so warm compared to what we were used to at that point.
I know. Dude, let me tell you, when you first come down here, you know, you're like out on the beach when it's 50 degrees and you're, you know, trust me, I did all that stuff when I first moved down here. But after a couple of winters, man, it'll be 60 degrees and you'll be in a winter jacket, man. And it sounds crazy, but it's true, man. I'm telling you, I'm not even kidding with you. But anyway, no, that's a great trip. By the way, Scuba Stan is in here, and I'm going to talk about this real quick. The Yak Angler Boondoggle to Chucktown or Charleston is October 7th through the 10th, I believe. Pardon me, I don't have my calendar right in front of me. Oh, yeah, I do, but I'm not going to get into that. Never mind. Anyway, the Boondoggle is coming up in Charleston. We're staying at the KOA campgrounds right there at Copahee Sound. And for information on that, log on to yakangler.com. It's under events. So that's coming up. Also, the always dreaded Badtastic Fishing Seminar is August 25th. It's on a Thursday. And I'm hoping to be able to call Chip's show right in the middle of it, from right in the middle of my seminar, and see if we can get him wired up on the speaker system there. That is at Smiley's Cafe for the Fish and Mission Fishing Club, and that is on Almerton Road. I don't have the address right in front of me at the moment, but I will. That is also under events at yakangler.com. And the sushi man, Yak Sushi himself, will be at my seminar along with several other folks. And so come on out. You can get like dollar pieces of pizza from the cafe. Imagine they have sodas and everything like that. Big old stage with a big old light show and fog machines and stuff, because I need that stuff, you know, because my information is rubbish. But all the smoke machines and lights and laser shows and big screens and stuff, that makes it a little bit more cool, right? So anyway, yeah, if you're down, Greg, around the, that's this month. So if you're down, come on out, man. It's free to the public. It'll be a good time.
Yep.
Now,
I don't think I'm going to make it down for that one, unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's okay. I know you will one day.
Yep,
now,
I will.
Man, are you going fishing this weekend?
Yes, I am. This weekend we have the New England kayak fishing striper shootout. So it's the big tournament
weekend?
Up in Boston.
Is that this weekend?
That is this weekend.
Nice. Is there what sort of prize are you looking at?
Actually, I don't know. It sounds like the prizes for the classes are trophies and bragging rights, and then they're raffling off all the rest of the donated prizes, the kayaks and all the gear that got donated by all the sponsors. Which is what they do at the Jamaica Bay tournament as well.
Okay.
That way, everyone that goes, it's a little more friendly tournament.
There's
a little less competition. There's a lot of helping new guys out and people from out of town out. Because there's, you know, other than bragging rights, there's not a lot at stake.
Okay. Well, that's cool. That sounds good, man. Sounds like a good time. Is there a website or anything associated with that you know offhand?
Best place to look it up. I do have a post up on Yak Angler, but there is also the New England Kayak Fishing.com.
Is that in the Is it in the events on Yak
yep.
Angler?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. And that is when, this weekend?
That is this weekend. It starts Friday night, and you can fish all the way till Sunday at noon.
Nice. And let me ask, how many people do you usually get?
They limit it to 150 entrants.
Awesome. How much to get in?
I believe it is $60.
No kidding.
So it's not
That's
even,
not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Good deal, man. So that's this weekend out there in Baston.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding with you. That's cool, man. That sounds like a good event.
Yeah.
Let's see. And Kayla is not there. So, Kayla, if you're going fishing, are you still listening? I see her there, but she's not talking. Is your phone dead? Okay. Well, anyway, I am fishing this weekend. I'm going to the always dreaded Cockroach Bay this weekend. I'm going to be fishing over there in everybody's the Apollo Beach neck of the woods on the opposite side of Tampa Bay there. And let's see, what else is going on? Yeah, we're going to I got a couple of buddies over there that are going to take me out to their holes, as it were. They say that there's been a lot of snook and redfish and trout and everything else stacked up there around the oyster bars and mangroves and stuff. So we're excited about it, man. So it looks like an early trip for me, early wake-up call and out the door, man. So I'm excited about it. So, Greg... Greg Becker, big fly reel there. If you ain't got nothing going on Saturday, shoot me a message on Facebook or something. I'll tell you where we're going to be. And that would be Saturday. So that's what I'm doing, man. I need to catch some fish, man. I've had a pretty rough week or month here fishing wise. So I need to get on some fish, man. So. Definitely nothing like a change of plans of going or change of scenery going to a totally, totally different spot. So I'm excited. But anyway, we're at the end of our hour. My studio dashboard here is still blank. I had a funky ditty that I came up with on the Mac that was actually pretty cool. I was really digging it. And my first time with the... getting the thing going there on the GarageBand on my new Mac. I'm excited about it, man. I was, you know, it was something new. It's like a new toy, man. You got to play around with it. So for those of you who don't know, I was a musician for, God, 25 years. So it was something pretty neat to get in there and actually, you know, almost more or less write some songs. So I was excited about that, and it just didn't happen, man. So, I did it. I got it all set up, and it was got it loaded, and now my audio clips is totally gone. Let me try one shot here. Oh, there it is. Good. I got it back. Okay. Well, we're at the end of our hour, Greg, so I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to get out of here. I still don't have an end show button, so I'm going to have to probably do it the old-fashioned way and red X out. But have a good weekend, Greg, and good luck in your tournament over the weekend. And everybody in the chat room, thank you for coming in there. I apologize for all my technical difficulties, but I'm sure that you understand going from a PC to a Mac is totally different. Aaron, Big Fly Reel, the Hammerhead, which is on the phone with me, Mark Lozier, Rob Choi was in there, Chris, the VPJAVA chick. It was, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate it, all of you guys. Mark Lozier, Isaac. Isaac's coming on at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Give him a shot. I don't know what he's talking about tonight, but he's always a sure thing for a good show to tell you about 500-foot anchor ropes and fishing in seas that look like the deadliest catch. So give him a listen if you're still up, and I'm going to leave you with the funky outro. Don't beat me up too bad. It's my first time using it, man. So I put it the GarageBand thing. So it's the first thing that I did. So don't kill it. Be kind. And I promise to have better funky jams. So that's it. This is A Bad Batcast signing off. Remember, yakangler.com, abadbatcast.com. Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Like us on Facebook. Like us on follow us on Twitter. That's it for me, folks. Have a good one. Later.